Well, we're doing the end of Parshas B'Shalach. There's a story of the Jews who are complaining that they wanted water. Right? There was no water for them to drink and feed them. And it's Parak Yitzayin. And they complained. They said, give us water so we can drink. Moses said, why are you complaining against me? Right? And then, fine. So they cried. Oh, no. Lisa?
Yeah, I'm
going to get it. Yeah, so he says, basically, the solution was, Hashem said to Moshe, it says, Vayomer Pasuk Hay, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Avor lefneihem, go in front of the people, Vekach yitcha mizikne Yisrael, and bring with you from the Zakenim, Umachcha asher kisubot zayor, and the stick with which you hit the river, the Nile, Kach biyadcha ve'alachcha. Right, now bring with you, and or I guess the river, whatever, and kind of take it with your hand, then go. Take it in your hand, then go. I'll be with you there by the rock, the Chorev. In Chorev, and you'll hit on the rock, in the rock. And water will emerge, the water the nation will drink. So Moshe did it in front of the Zakenim. Okay? So we'll look at some Rashi's here. So on Hey, he says, "Bekach me'itcha mizikne Yisrael." That's one of the Rashi's on Hey. It says, "Le'edus." For why you bring the Zakenim with you? So it's saying for because the Ramban points out they went. He traveled a little bit because if you notice, he was in Refidim where they were camped, and then he's hitting the rock in Chorev. So it says it was like a parsa or two away. Says, however, from a distance, whatever. So he went, and so it says he's bringing the Zakenim with him. So why? The Eidus says the testimony. So they'll see that the water is coming out of the rock through your when you're hitting. You won't say that, oh, there's a spring. Here it is. Moshe goes, finds a spring, and then just brings it to them, right? And directs it to them or whatever. So through the, they'll see and testify that it's really through Moshe's hitting with the rock that the water's coming out. Okay. Umatcha asher kisubot, the next Rashi. Matam asher kisubot yar. Why does he have to say? Just say your stick. What does he have to say? With the stick with which you hit the yar. So Elisha Yisrael Omrim al Hamata Shein Buchan al Pranas. So the Jews said about the stick that it's like a bad stick. It's a punishing stick. Right, with this stick, the Mitzrim were punished, so the Makos, and they drowned in the sea. Right? So, Lekach Nemar, Sherekisa Vazayar. Therefore, he's referencing that very selfsame stick with which you hit the Yar. Yiru Ata, now you'll see Shaf L'Tova Humbuchan. That it's even, it's also prepared for Tova. It's not just a bad stick, it's also a good stick. Okay? Namely, it will be used to give them water. Okay? And one more Rashi I wanted to do. Mikisa Batsor, it says you hit with on the rock. Al Hatsor, Al Hatsor Lo Nemar. It doesn't say on the rock. It should have said Mikisa Al Hatsor. El Abatsor, in the rock. What does it mean you hit in the rock? Mikan Shahamata Haya Shalmin Dabar Chazak. It was the stick, it was a very, very strong. Men, Ushmo San Pirinon, which is they say means sapphire, San Pirinon, usually translated sapphire, which is very hard. According to Wikipedia, it's like it's the third hardest substance in the world, second to diamond and some other thing which I didn't know. And the Tzor Nivkav Mipanov, and the rock shattered, broke from it. So he had like a sapphire stick and he hit the rock and it shattered the rock and then water came out. Okay, those are the Rashi's that I'm interested in. Okay, any questions on any of them? I mean, they're separate things, they're different points, but.
The question on the second Rashi.
Okay.
Why would it matter if the Israel call it a bad stick? Like, well, what do we care what they think of the stick?
Okay, good. Who cares if they call it a bad stick, yeah. Good stick, whatever. Okay, good question.
And the stick itself doesn't really have any powers to do good or
bad. Right. So that, true. So now it's a bad stick and a good stick, right? Is that better? I mean, just say, look, it's not a stick, right? And now it's a funny lesson, You say, look, it's not only a good stick, it's a bad stick. It's a good stick and a bad stick. Okay, good. Good question.
What was the purpose of the Aegis of the Zakenim?
I guess so that they would, it would be clear that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to get the water, that he didn't just know that there was a spring down the road. But he's actually, they'll testify that Moshe is hitting it, and I mean, the water is emerging because of Moshe Rabbeinu's hit.
He needed that.
What?
He needed that.
He needed what?
Aegis, but he wasn't like
that. I mean, it seems like the people would say, yeah, I guess so. The people, the whole point this is that it's a miracle or something. Hashem's feeding them the water. I guess somehow it seems like it was important to show them that this is something which is being done through Moshe. Yeah, I mean, I guess the Jews were always trying to, you know, a lot of times they were, you know, trying to undermine him.
If they could make an excuse that it came from a spring and not from a miracle that Hashem helped Moshe to perform,
right.
That gives them an excuse to say, well, we don't really need to follow the dictates of Hashem.
Right, something like that, right. I mean, even though the main point you think is just to feed them the water, so they get the water, they get the water. But it seems like a part of the thing was to show them that Hashem is giving it to them.
Just thinking lately how we talk about the all the miracles that Hashem performed for Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim, and then when they left. These were people who didn't really grow up with the mitzvos.
Okay.
So it's kind of hard to suddenly adopt it as an adult. You know, I mean, it's one thing if you grow up with it, but when you kind of are almost forced in a way by seeing all these miracles, and then you have to adopt all the mitzvos, it's probably a very difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Okay, what do you think about the last Rashi? The hitting the sapphire.
Who cares?
It would have to be made out of material to be able to break the rock.
Right, exactly right. Why is that significant? Let's say he just hit the rock and the water came out. I mean, it's a miracle, whatever it is, right? Either way, it's a miracle. It's not like he just hits rocks with sapphire and all of a sudden water starts coming out, right? So, I mean, what's really the difference? If it's
I can take a sapphire stick all I want and bang
right.
It's just not gonna happen.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right, so one's a miracle, what's the difference altogether? So it's interesting that here he was supposed to hit the rock here. Over there, Lucas or whatever, he's supposed to talk to the rock, right? Saying here he hit the rock. You know? Here he was commanded to hit the rock. There he was supposed to talk to the rock and he hit it and that was a chait, right? But here that was exactly the plan. I don't remember it exactly, but yeah, he started talking to it and then didn't listen, it was the wrong one, and then he figured, oh, I must be able to hit it, right? It's like Rashi like that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't remember exactly what
did
he said.
Did you reference back here?
Yeah, I don't know.
The Aegis reference again, I'm going back up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't have a good memory for even my own shares. Certainly not for others. Yeah, so it sounds like a funny, trivial kind of thing, right?
Like, just like in the shot, just that shot of that Rashi, that, I mean, the point, essentially the Rashi is that the stick was harder than the rock and then split it.
Yeah, he hit into the rock, yeah, right.
And
it's a very hard stick.
The rock split, whatever.
Yeah, it went into the rock.
Into the rock.
Right, he's explaining the Lashon. Into the rock.
I wonder if this is where the legend of Excalibur came from.
Yeah. I googled, I didn't find anything, but of like sapphire sticks and rocks, water, like, I don't know, it's like a thing like that.
Yeah.
Didn't come up with anything.
I've never even heard of sapphire in a stick.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, usually think of it in jewelry.
So I actually just learned it's iron, it's aluminum oxide crystals, which is clear. When there are iron inclusions, it's sapphire, and when there's chromium, it's ruby. It's like the same substance,
really?
But
I didn't know that. Really?
Inclusion.
That's interesting. But there's like a scale which rates the hardness.
Scale, yeah, right.
So there's like a 10, this is like a 9 or 8.5, I forgot. I think diamond is 10 or something. Yes.
Okay.
It's not clear how Rashi knows that it was sapphire also, you know? Like, I instantly could deduce that it was something hard. Which is not even clear, because maybe it's a miracle. Once it's a miracle, then who knows whether it's hard or soft. It's a miracle.
Every time you come, this is actually where you
sounds like it, yeah. It sounds like from here, you see that the stick was something very hard, and its name was Empusson Pier. I mean, how do you know that? Is that part of the deduction also? You could deduce one thing, that it was hard, I kind of hear. Because how else is it going into the stick? Which is in the rock. Which is a question anyways, because it was a miracle. So once it's a miracle, you know, who knows? But at the same time, I mean, I don't know, is it clear that they're deducing Mamish what it was? That it's Sampirinon? I mean, I don't know, could it be that some Sora, and that's what it was, but, you know, it's hard to believe they actually got the name of the thing from.
I'm starting to recall part of the shiur about when he hit the rock and he was supposed to talk to
him. Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's coming back to me.
Okay,
now.
But there's no cheating. There's a rose line. Someone told me he's giving a shiur, and someone said, well, Rabbi, you gave a shiur about the... No, told me, no cheating.
That's
they say the Rabbi wanted to, I think the lesson was that he would never give a shiur, he wanted to think about it with fresh eyes. So even his own thing was cheating, you know? He just wanted to be able to think, you know, think freely, not be stuck in his own.
We start from something that a concept that came out of that shiur that might help us to understand this shiur. So I think
I'll allow that.
I recall that the main point was in doing what he did, Moshe wasn't teaching the lesson to the Am that he was supposed to be teaching them at that time, and that's why he was culpable.
Okay.
Because it was a specific lesson that Hashem wanted to teach Am Yisrael at that time, and he didn't follow instructions, so he missed out on giving that lesson to them. So maybe each one of the aspects of this is a different lesson that Klal Yisrael needed to have.
Okay.
And if they would have thought that it was a spring, they wouldn't have got that lesson. If there would have been something other than sapphire, they might not have gotten the same lesson.
Okay.
And, not sure about why it makes a difference that they think it's a good stick versus a bad a bad stick, but again, it's probably part of like.
Okay, fine. I hear you. So maybe we could try to.
I have a little idea about is that one.
That you have an idea
about the stick.
Okay.
That's not the stick. In other words, if they thought that the stick had a power.
Right.
They might have thought the stick has a negative power, but when the stick can, I don't know why it would make a difference why a stick can't go both ways, but maybe the stick does bad, a lot of bad, and then it does good, you see that it's not something about the stick itself. But
If
they were steeped in Egyptian Avodah Zarah, and the way Egyptian Avodah Zarah works is that certain objects are evil and certain objects are good, then maybe they would think that this can only be a bad thing if the stick had done these you know, punishments.
Right. Is that so? You're conjecturing that, or that's a fact
just
about
conjecturing.
The... Oh, yeah, that sounds interesting. No, I hear that. I was wondering, wow, that sounds exciting.
Yeah.
You're right.
There
is a thing like that
in
the primitive mind. Sometimes you have good things, evil, force of evil, forces of good, punishing like different types of powers.
Right.
I mean, they may look at it as like an evil stick. Once it's a good stick, now all of a sudden they have to start thinking, one second, is this a good stick, is this a bad stick? Oh, maybe there's unification here. Oh, it's Hashem who uses it to carry out his ratzon, which is sometimes good and sometimes evil. Listen to that. Right, so this way they realize it directs them towards recognizing the idea of Sarv Honesh and Hashem, who is not good or evil. He just carries out his will, and his will might be to punish Mitzrayim and to reward Yisrael. So it directs them. It's like in order to tell to knock down their idea of a negative stick, you have to first pull them out of it by making conflict, so to speak, showing them their theory doesn't work out. And only then you could open up their minds towards, you know, But it could be that they started to relate to it in that wrong way. So he held that was going to be a mistake because it directs them away from Hashem and Schar Va'onesh, and it kind of plays into that primitive way of looking at the world. And that's like your question, Ayla, why do we care? Do we care? Because you want them to relate to Hashem as the, you know, as the Malach Mishpat, not as to an object as having powers. So that's why he specifically said, take this stick. It's starting to get evil sense to it in the eyes of the people. Specifically take that stick and use it for a tov to help them.
Is this Mata Moshe or Mata Aaron?
I don't know. Probably, I think Moshe, but I'm not sure. I don't know.
Because wasn't Mata Aaron put into the Aaron? So
yeah.
So it's
later, yeah.
Yes,
but it's later in the Torah, but yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like it's his stick. It sounds like it's Moshe's stick. Yeah. Okay, good. So that explains that, Rashi, right?
I'm just wondering why it was important to mention that there was any matzah in the arm. Like, what?
Well, that was the thing. That's part of the story of Korach. But they were... It's
like
no shot.
The whole point of this lesson is to show that this physical object is not good or evil. It doesn't have power. Then why do we... why does this miracle even have to be performed with a stick at all? Why couldn't he just hit it with his hand, or I don't know, did Hashem just say?
Well, isn't that what we're addressing? Because she's saying is that they're already looking at. I mean, not at this meal, but there was a stick in the other ones. Are you asking about the other ones?
I'm asking in general, like when he did all the stuff that he did before. Why did it have to be with a stick?
Oh, I understand altogether.
Because then it already sets a perception in their mind to begin with.
I understand that.
I
don't think if he did stuff with his hands, that would be really bad, because you'd really think that the person is doing stuff with their hands, you know. I mean, you do have certain something like that, right, where he like raises his arms and things like that, but maybe having
stick. You know, as I once saw, I was going to give a speech about this, I can't remember the source, but I think it was in Gaza. Someone said that the stick of Moshe was his walking stick. It was like a cane or like an old man walking stick, because he was old and he had a stick.
Shepherds always had a cane, right?
So I think, but I think he's saying specifically it was like a stick that he like leaned on. But it's hard to understand because it says Moshe was 120 years and he didn't get weak or anything.
Didn't he have a shuffle on his feet or something like that?
I don't know. Stutter in his
mouth. Like
shuffle? I don't know.
I thought it was like two things that we know that he was like.
Oh, yeah?
Like,
no, I don't know.
I feel like stutter, like maybe it was like a little heavy set. Solid and like had a shuffle, like like specifically not a physically impressive person. I don't remember.
So that was the shot that I wanted to say in that, is that specifically it wasn't like a magician's stick, but it was a old man's walking stick. Moshe was 80 years old at the time of the thing, and it was a walking stick. It was like on the contrary, so they wouldn't think of Moshe the powerful. But they look at it as, in a certain sense, it's like a sign. It says, "Weak is a stick of weakness, not a magic stick, but a walking stick." You know, so it directs them away from looking at it as if it's he himself who has the power.
Right, I think it's supporting him, like
right. But then, given that they're using it, so then with time, it's going to end up getting this negative connotation. So now you have to counteract it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't remember the source though. I have a memory that it was Ibn Ezra, but I'm not sure. Remember, I spoke to that now when I was engagement party. That's what I remember.
Wow.
In the Gersh's house. Yeah, it's been a while. I think. Yeah, so what do you think about this this hitting the, breaking the stick, the breaking the rock? How are you guys doing on the phone there? Any questions or comments? Especially because they weren't even, they were far away. It wasn't like that rock, aren't they all?
That's where I feel like the fact that it was a hard stick, makes it a little bit like, seem like less of a mace. Like if it were like a wooden stick and he hit the stone, right? Yeah. And it would like, yeah. And the rock broke right. from that. That would right. seem like somehow more miraculous. Right. But it was like a very hard.
Then how did Moshe happen to get his hands on a sapphire walking stick?
Could be it was that. He was like, you know, it's good fashion.
I mean, it was like polished and faceted. He might have been just.
Yeah.
Picked it up somewhere. Yeah. So
they were mining sapphire.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it seems to be like Rashi's point is that it was a hard stick, right? Like that seems to be like what sounds his point way. Is that the stick was very hard, right?
I know,
not that the rock broke.
Yeah, it's shell.
Stick that like turned into a snake before
Pharaoh? It seems that way, yeah. I think so.
Or is that Anu?
What?
Is that
Anu? Oh, is it? I don't know. It says the one that he hit the, you know, that he hit the Yor with. So I guess that means with the Maka of Dam and Tzvardaya. Maybe by Yamsuf.
Yisrael would know something, right?
I guess so.
That his matzah was really hard material.
Right, like who cares, right?
Not like.
Did Klal Yisrael hear the nevuah that Moshe was hearing? That would be Kisa Batzor. But then Hashem was talking to Moshe and saying, Kisa Batzor. They hear those words, or did they witness him actually breaking it?
I don't know. That's a good question. Canaan, I guess, would have witnessed that, right?
And they would have talked to the people about it.
I guess so. I guess so. I guess you could say that, presumably.
I'm just looking at the first Rashi. Yeah. Sha'al yadcha ha'mayim yotzim mehatzor. Maybe they were having some sort of doubt about Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right.
And it needs to be clear that it was coming from his hand.
Okay.
I'm just looking at the pasuk before where he said, Ob na'at v'uskabumi. So that sounds like they were antagonistic toward Moshe Rabbeinu himself, right?
Yes.
Like it wasn't just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they were somehow against Moshe Rabbeinu.
Okay. So then how does it help of having a hard stick? Okay, so I'll tell you what I was thinking. Okay, I was thinking about it for a while. But after a while I came up with something. Okay? And it reminded me of is a Ramban earlier in the parasha. I think I once heard Rebbe talk about this. But it's by the water was bitter, you know, and earlier in the parasha. And he says, he showed him, Hashem showed him a tree, and he threw it into the water, and it sweetened it, right? So the Ramban is bothered by, or picks up on, a Yoreyu Hashem Eitz. So the way it's translated means, and he you know, showed him. But Yorehu is a lashon of teaching. Okay, that's what the Ramban says. He says Sheher lo eitz. He showed him a tree. Amar lo hashlech el esayitz azel ma'amayim tiku. So throw this tree in the water and he'll sweeten it. So he says, I've looked around at the word Mo'ra v'yorehu, and it only comes up, according to Ramban, it never comes up but regarding teaching.
Which
like,
word?
V'yorehu, like Hora'a, Mo'ra, like a Mo'ra, teach, to teach. So he says, v'yoreini v'yomerli, it's pasuk mishlei, lamdeni, v'chein kula. He says, in all the cases where you have that word, it means teaching. So nera v'derech hapshah, that this tree sweetened the water by its nature. It was like a natural thing. It was segula bo. And it was like it had some property in it. V'limid osel Moshe. He taught Moshe. So it was like some chemical reaction or whatever it is that when you throw this in, it reacted with the water and removed the bitterness and sweetened up the water. So v'yorehu means Hashem taught him. Taught him, yeah, whatever it was. Right? He taught him how to sweeten the water. So it wasn't just a miracle, but it was like there was a chachma to it, and Hashem was teaching him how, even though you're in the desert and the water which you have is bitter and whatever, there's through derkei chachma, you could conquer your environment and you could be able to, you know, thrive. Through studying the properties, and you'll live through the approach of Chachma. So I was thinking is that it was something similar here. Is that what happened with the rock? How did it happen exactly? Was it just a miracle? Poof. That, you know, he hits a rock, and magically, right, just Hashem makes water come out of nowhere. So I'm saying maybe not. Rather, there was water on the ground, right? And if you have water on the ground and you're able to tap into it and to break through the layer of the ground, the rocks which cover it up, if you know the right spot where to hit it, so then you have the ability to get it. And that's what I did look online. There are different tricks of how to get water in the desert. Not that you get streams and streams of water, but there is a phenomenon of water on the ground, and you have to know there's a method and a science of being able to get that, access that water. So it could be, it's not just a miracle, that's why Hashem told him to walk a few mil or whatever, there's a specific spot that God knows about. And God's showing Moshe Rabbeinu, come here, bring this again with you, find the spot, I'll show you where to hit. You hit it, take your really, really strong stick, make a hole in the rock, you gotta bust open the rock, and they'll be able to, like, you know, it's like digging for gold or for oil, things like that, you know. You hit the right spot, and you can get a, you know, stream, pop out. So the nature of the miracle was one, that it wasn't quite a miracle, but it was Hashem gave him knowledge about where and how to access the water, which is implicit in the universe. So that was what, that's what it was. That's what Rashi's teaching. That was the nature of this nes. It was not. It wasn't like a shinoi in the world laws of nature. As much as it was teaching, giving Moshe Rabbeinu knowledge of how to himself access the ketuv which Hashem implanted in nature. You know. And I just wonder. This is the part I wasn't sure about. But it could be if he knew. How does he know the name of the stick? As one sapphire. I was wondering if there is a science. I don't know, so I couldn't find that on the internet if it exists, but maybe there's a phenomenon of using sapphire sticks to be able to dig into water and the sky, you know, finding streams and breaking through things. Maybe it's like a known thing. And he's saying is that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing. It wasn't a miracle as much as it was the height of the skill of being able to find the water in a desert, which Hashem was teaching him.
Because they, Moshe and the rest of Israel were used to being near the Nile where they didn't have need of these skills.
Right. Yeah, right.
So now that they're traveling through the desert,
right,
they have to learn some new skills.
Yeah, right. You see, I don't know if, I'm not sure if you can necessarily generalize the skill of being able to find the water and, you know, which rock it would be and whatever. But I'm saying, but still, it was there and Hashem showed Moshe how to access it. that which was implicit in the nature. Which I think in my mind is a different nace than him talking to it. See, that's already different. Now, it could be even when he talked to it, there was an underground stream, but then the timing of it coming up exactly when Moshe talks to it is a greater interaction in the laws of nature than just giving Moshe insight of where to hit. So it seems like over there, that was going to be a bigger nace for Klal Yisrael. And I think that's the way the Rambam learns Pshat over there, is that the people complained about water, Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, but Hashem wasn't angry. Hashem was going to do a miracle for them, and a great miracle for them, and to give them the water just through talking, which is a much bigger change in laws of nature. So the people would have been a great Kiddush Hashem, that they would have said, wow, look how Hashem is taking care of our needs. But Moshe Rabbeinu himself got angry. He assumed God was angry. Instead, he did this lesser miracle of hitting it, and that's Lechel Hashem, because now he implies that God's angry, and he implies and he ends up invoking a lesser miracle, where it was really God's will at this moment to show them a greater miracle, and which would have moved the people towards a great cure of Hashem. So the point is, like, there's different levels and different types of miracles which are presumably suited for different circumstances. You know, but I think he's saying, since it says Batsor in the rock, he's trying to hint to you that it was a process of really extracting the water from the rock. If you're just going to tap the water, the rock, and the water's going to come out, that's a miracle. That's like not working through a natural process. That's just somehow triggering the miracle. It's a total miracle. It's a total change in laws of nature. And the stick is just triggering it, like with the ER. The ER turns into blood. That's just that connecting up. You're hitting with the thing, but it's a total miracle, arguably. It's not a natural thing what you're doing. The thing is here, he was working through nature.
Where was the word
Haram? Oh, that's in Bishal. That's the earlier one. That's in Perek Tezvav. I'm making a connection. The Tezvav Chafei. That's by Yorei HaShemetz. By Yitzhak HaShem, by Yorei HaShemetz.
In the context of that, it was supposed to be Hashem teaching them a lesson about how to use the natural world. Then what does that mean where it says, they brought this kingdom,
oh, yeah,
so they should know,
yeah, right,
that it wasn't the spring. That
right.
It was,
yes. Yeah, that's a good point. See, that's sort of thing. It's not, they didn't want it to imply like he just found a natural spring. Like Moshe Rabbeinu just happened to, while he was walking in the corner of his eye, noticed a spring. It was through God giving them. It wasn't just natural that there was a spring, but it wasn't through God miraculously giving them, but rather it was like in between. It was God showing Moshe how to, through conveying knowledge to Moshe, the greatest Navi, knowledge of how to harness the forces of nature, which are hidden. And the Zakenim would see, they're looking around, Moshe's walking to a given rock and hits it, and it breaks, busts open or whatever. They'll see there was no clear stream popping out or something like that. So otherwise, the Jews, the part of the message is that Hashem is, the way Hashem is providing is by inspiring a great Navi, a great Chacham, to have the ability to provide for the Klal. But not just that he happened to see a river which is there. It's trying to convey that Hashem is helping them. But not helping them in the miraculous way. Not like there's something wrong with the miraculous way. There are many times where he does something miraculous. But there's also something to show that Hashem helps people through giving them knowledge and insight and the ability to work with their nature. That's like a, you know.
So what if a rock in the desert, desert, like sand. So,
in Israel, I think there are a lot of rocks, like stone face.
Depends
how much rainfall.
Yeah, less than 15 centimeters a year is a desert, which is why Antarctica is a desert.
Oh, really?
It's not to be sand. Yes, I did have this week, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
You have rocks in the desert, it just means it's just no rain. You know, you can have a rocky desert. Like,
right.
And this rock had to be broken because the natural way to access underground water is through a rock.
I'm saying is that there was an underground stream.
Does that just mean like it's the part of the ground? It's like embedded in the ground?
Yeah, I'm saying it's an underground stream.
Yeah.
And there if you, it's a strong stream which is going beneath the surface of the ground, so no one will know about it. But if you could poke a hole down to that stream, then all the stream, instead of going underground, is going to come above ground. So you just have to be able to get to access that stream. Right? And you have to know where it is or whatever.
Hard enough, but it's going to be able to
To pierce the surface of the ground and be able to get into there. But the ground could be a rocky terrain, and the water's going under the rocks. You know, it's like in the mountains, like in Israel. Like the, if you go to Israel, it's like desert and hot or whatever, but it's like rocks all over the place. I mean, it's like sharp, you know, jagged, whatever. Like, you know, mountains, like a hilly, like a hill, but they're stone-faced, and, you know.
This is in Barcelona that this happened?
I guess so. I don't know. So, this is like right after. It says, the Midbar Sin. The Midbar Sin to refeed them. Yeah. I mean, it's near Sinai. Yeah. Soon of Sinai, right?
I have an atlas at home that shows, like, all the references and where it is exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so one more Rashi I wanted to do, which I thought was interesting, is the next, after this, right after this story. It says, it's the story of Amalek. Okay, is there any questions on the phone, by the way?
Yeah, I was just wondering why you think they all needed, at this point, a more natural miracle as opposed to an open miracle.
That's a good question. I wonder if... Yeah, I don't know the answer to your question specific, but I do think that there is it's interesting how, like, the history of the Jewish people, in a certain sense, the Midbar was like a very interesting time period where there were a lot of miracles going on, you know? But, like, that wasn't the plan for the future of Klal Yisrael. It's not the plan now, and it wasn't the plan even, you know? It seemed like everything was miraculous in the desert. But that's not the idea. The nation of the Jewish people isn't supposed to be a nation. The future of Jewish people is going to be a nation which is totally reliant on miracles. But rather, as a people who lives according to Chachma and recognizes the idea of Ashkacha, of Nistar, you know? So it's like, on the one hand, you just overwhelm them with tons of miracles. Now it was necessary at the beginning to teach them ideas. At the same time, you also want to redirect them towards a more sublime way to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is through the natural law, and the source of the natural law, and the provider through the natural law, and the giver of knowledge. And so I don't know exactly the timing, because after this was seen, I mean, there's a lot of miracles still happening. But at the same time, like, so that's why I can't answer in particular why now, but I do think that there is a balance between, on the one hand, Hashem doing miracles and taking care of the Jews and showing them his Yad Chazaka and teaching them ideas, and at the same time, segueing the people to relating to him through the natural law. Which is why right now was it showing them the natural law as opposed to, like, I don't know, some other time or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I can't answer your question in particular, though. I'm just saying it's like this was after, you know, Kriyas Yamsuf and then all the Makos, and like it could be, okay, that was all necessary to show Mitzrayim and to teach these ideas, but let's already start getting relating to God in a more natural type of way. You know, there's, so again, it's still not the era of the miracles is still on and it didn't pass, but at the same time, there's, you don't want them to become too attached to God as the miracle worker, because there's a higher way to relate to him, which is through more, you know, the laws of nature are part of what God wants in the universe.
It's kind of like to keep them afloat until they get to Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
It was not like a thing that once they got to Eretz Yisrael, it would go more natural.
Yeah. Once they got into Eretz Yisrael. And arguably they would get into Eretz Yisrael sooner. The 40 years was only because of the Chay, the Raglan, right? So arguably at this point that wasn't yet happening. So they could be that they would, this is they're transitioning them from the stage of miracles and trying to set them up and relating to God in a more natural way. But still, there was the man, and there was, you know, and I'm not saying they weren't done with miracles, but I think you don't want them to become, it's not, you don't have a singular way of relating to God, which is only through miracles, because that's not going to be the future. Yeah, okay, good question.
So, there's a hint maybe in the next pasuk, it starts talking about Amalek, and Rashi asks,
Yeah, that's what I want to do right now.
Okay. I was going to say, what is the connection?
Yeah.
So maybe that's a hint to answer her question.
Let me just read the Rashi so that, and then you'll say your answer, okay?
Yeah.
So the next Rashi, which is the next one I want to take up, it says, Vayava Amalek, or the very next parasha after this, Vayava Amalek. Because at the end of this parasha, it said, they called the name of this place Masa Meriba. Al Riv in Israel, on the fight, argument of Israel, on Nosos Ames Hashem, Leimar, testing Hashem, saying, Haish Hashem Bikimenu Amayan, is Hashem with us? So that's like a pirush of what happened. Their doubts and their questions of the water was somehow like testing, not trusting in God. So it says, Vayava Amalek, right after that, Vayava Amalek. Hasamach Parsha Zulamikra Zel Lomar. So these, why are they juxtaposed? This water thing in Amalek. To say, Tamer ani b'neichem v'zum achol tzarkechem. I am always there for you. Atem on reishim v'kenoim, and yet you guys are saying, is Hashem with us? Chayechem, if you are not recognizing God, then you'll see. Shakelev bav noshech hastam. The Kelev, Amalek, the dog, is going to come and bite you. Atem tzokim li, and then you're going to cry out to me, v'teidu, heichan honey, then you'll see where I am. So if you're asking, where am I? You'll get bitten, and then you'll see. And then you'll see where I am. Then you'll need me. Mashal Adam, so it's a mashal. So Shahir Kibron Sefer, a guy puts his kid on his shoulder and he goes on the road. Oh yeah, also a man, Roh Chayfetz, Omer. Abba Tal Chayfetz, Abitainly. So he sees an item, he says, Abba, can you please grab me that Chayfetz and give it to me? That item, and he gives it to him, Bechain Shneer, Shlishes, to a second time, a third time. Pagubad Mechad, he finally bumps into some guy. Amarlo, also a man, the kid says, or he says, Abba, have you seen my dad? Amarlo, Avicha. His father said to him, you know where I am? So the father threw him down on the floor, and then the dog came and bit him. So too, the Jews are like saying, is Hashem with us? Hashem with us? He's doing all these miracles. Is he with us? So God's saying, I'll show you. I'll leave you alone. I won't take care of you for a little bit. The Malik will come. He'll get the upper hand on you, and then you'll cry out to Hashem, and then you'll really see that you're dependent and needy. Right? So the question is, what's the idea here? Right? What's the idea here? I mean, if he keeps asking his father, could you get me that? Could you get me that? I mean, it seems like he knows his father's there. What does it mean? Where's my father? I mean, he keeps asking him, Dad, could you give me the thing? Right? It's funny. The whole thing is a little funny, right? Yeah, so Ayala, so you want to say this?
So, maybe the reason that they needed this lesson right now is because if it comes a time when, kind of reminds me a little bit of the when we were learning about in Ashrei, why do we have to emphasize Poseach Hasyadecha must be a whole fire on its own?
Mm.
It's because even if they intellectually know that Hashem is around,
right.
If they could have this misguided belief that yes, Hashem was set them on a path, Hashem is
okay, we're going to sleep in 5 minutes, right?
Has appointed Moshe as leader. But then Hashem left them alone, right. And now they're all on their own.
Okay.
So maybe they needed to know that Hashem did set the laws of nature into place, but at the same time, Hashem is also constantly has his hashgacha over Klal Yisrael, and there is the evidence is that when Hashem withdraws his hashgacha, they get attacked by a mullet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here you go. Good.
Lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like you were dying of thirst and wondering if Hashem is around to give you water.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, I'm going to punish you that Amalek is going to come around and bite you. It just seems pretty harsh. But I guess if they had been through all of that, they should have recognized that.
Mm-hmm. It's not clear though, why is Amalek a better lesson than just not having water? And they have to cry out to Hashem and ask for water.
Right.
So I don't understand exactly. It's like, what exactly are you doing to them? Making Amalek? Well, you made them not have water.
Altogether, I just just like an impression, is that being attacked by Malik makes you feel less like Hashem is there. Just
right. Mm-hmm. It's true. But they had a daven to Hashem, and as they davened to Hashem, He would save them, and if they didn't, then they didn't. I mean, I think the plain lesson here, though, is that there's an idea of taking for granted the hand that feeds you. Right? Like a father gives a particular thing. Hashem provides for you, and you kind of take it for granted, and you have it coming to you, and you almost feel like this is just the way it is.
Especially if it's in the guise of nature.
Yes, right. So
it's just like, oh, my legs are working this morning, and I can walk.
Right, for sure.
Is that a big deal? Yes, it's a big deal every morning when your legs actually work and you can walk.
Yeah, right, exactly. Or like kids, for instance, just feel like food gets on the table. It's just what happens. Right? Like they don't realize, they don't think that there's a mother or father who works and puts time and energy into doing this, right? So you kind of become complacent, and that which is coming to you when you're being provided for, you just take it for granted, and you just assume it just happens. And that's a mistake, there's an error. Like you think, Hashem, that's what Hashem does, He just takes care of us. He's our provider, like He has to, and that's just what it is, and you end up not even recognizing it. And it's like, you know, wonder, where is Hashem? Is He with us? I mean, is He with you? How do you think you've been living here all these years? And this is where, you know, the just got the Amitzrayim, He's giving you food, giving you, and now you can ask, is Hashem with us? But it's like somehow you just become in this mindset that things have to go, I'm entitled, like a sense of entitlement. And that's harmful to a person. And sometimes, in order for to break that, let's say a parent or Hashem, has to leave the kid on their own a little bit and let them see, you know, like let's say a mother won't cook food for a few days and see what happens, you know. But sometimes you have to teach a person that's corrupt, that's wrong, and it's only through suffering the consequences of not having Hashem with you that you'll be able to then reflect and realize your dependency upon Hashem. But if you keep always providing, then the person is never going to break out of that and never going to relate to it properly. So it's through allowing them to suffer that they don't really deserve the protection of God if they're not going to recognize it. It's to help them out. But here it's hurting them. Philosophically, it's hurting them because you're giving them stuff and now they're not even recognizing Hashem. The fact they could even say such a thing as God with us, it means like they're becoming, it's getting to their head, they're taking it for granted. So that's harming them. So now God left them alone. Amalek came, they did some damage, and then they cried out to Hashem, and they realized, oh, we really are needing of Hashem. And it's like through the suffering and the loss, the tragedy of the loss, that they were able to readjust their focus and to recognize, you know, no longer take it for granted. Like in the mashal, father throws the kid off his shoulders, he feels all comfortable, he doesn't have to face the dangers of the world, and he forgets that he's weak. When he's on the ground, he realizes, oh, I'm weak, and he appreciates his father. Yeah. So it's sort of tied in with the other parsha, because that was the stimulus for this problem. Alright. And it could be as good, is your point, I think, is that if the miracle was, in line with what we said, if the miracle was through a natural thing, the Moshe just hit a rock and the water came out in a natural stream, oh, look at that. They cried out to Hashem, but look, Moshe just found water and whatever. It's like not as openly miraculous. So it could be they get lulled into a feeling of like this is just a natural thing. You know, after that. I mean, that was what Hashem wanted to show them, laws of nature, but at the same time, it could be they didn't really learn their lesson because they're able to attribute it to the natural. You know?
So even after this, they were still saying, Hanish Hashem Bikrameinu Imayim.
Yeah.
Like, there's a possibility that Hashem is not with us?
It seems so. Well, that was the purpose of the story, right? Other than they complained. It seems that's what he's saying. But
I think the lesson would have been more subtle. Although, it's showing that Hashem is Bikrameinu without it being everything being, you know, supernatural.
Right.
To show them that Hashem is among them,
right.
But it's
in
not
more subtle way, right. Right. But it seems like they didn't fully internalize it, right. And that's why the Malmale came.
I always interpreted this pasuk to mean this place was named Masa Mariva because of what happened before.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but I'm saying, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. But still, you see then Rashi saying his Amale came in order to help teach him this. So apparently it didn't quite work. You know.
I mean, Hashem had voiced that whole thing. So, in that sense, Hashem
gave them. Yes, for sure. For sure.